It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. With soaring inflation wreaking havoc on budgets this holiday season, we thought, you know what? We need tips on how to build financial confidence and start the new year on a more solid financial footing. So call in about your personal money challenges, 800-642-1234. Email them to ideas@wpr.org. Kia McAllister-Young is director of America Saves. That's a national nonprofit based in Washington, D.C., an initiative of the Consumer Federation of America. Kia, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate. I'm excited to be here and chat all things holiday tips. And
I know you are. You're raring to go. So, well, let's hold this. A Gallup poll this month, sobering, estimates more than half of Americans are experiencing financial hardship in their households due to rising prices. So with that in mind, what are things you do in your life, in Kia's life, to create and stick to a holiday budget this year?
Yeah. So even though I'm here as the expert, I am definitely feeling what most Americans are feeling. I'm a single mom. I have a kid in college. I have one in high school and one in elementary. And so things are tight. And I really am looking at the holiday season quite differently, that it's not necessarily about gifts. And I really have been feeling this way since COVID, you know, reimagining what a meaningful holiday looks like. And for us, that isn't necessarily as many gifts under the tree as possible, but what is quality time? How can we create meaningful gifts? And so really looking at how can we still enjoy each other, but not necessarily have to pull out my credit card in order to do that. So, and having those conversations with the young people in my life as well. So my kids and my nieces and nephews too.
So what I'm hearing is quality time, that is a gift. And in some respects, it's priceless considering the amount of hours people put into their jobs and doing other things around the home. And so really, you know, trying to translate that into some of these more meaningful connections with loved ones instead of something that's wrapped up in a package.
Absolutely. What are some either old traditions that you can pull back out that you haven't done in a while, or creating some new traditions, even as simple as baking together, or, you know, watching your favorite Christmas movies together with some hot cocoa. Yeah.
I have a weakness for loving good deals, and I always try to, you know, use coupons. But, you know, there's that question of would I want this or need this if it were full price? You know, would I still buy this if it weren't on sale? And I'm wondering what kind of triage should go through our minds as we do holiday shopping?
Yeah. So one really helpful tool, there are a lot of different apps and Chrome extensions as you're shopping online that you can use to do some price comparison. Now, CFA, Consumer Federation of America, is a consumer advocacy group. And so we're always looking at what's the cost of that, right? When something is helping you, and when technology is helping you there and it's free, there's some type of price. So you want to be very aware of your privacy and data that you're exchanging for this support in quick price comparison. But a lot of what we're hearing, I've even seen some news articles. When I think back to, you know, when I was growing up, the deals that we saw between Black Friday and the Christmas season and the holiday season were truly steep and significant. And now it's like 20%, 10%, maybe 20 if you're lucky. And so how much are you actually saving? And seeing and really thinking about, you know, is this actually worth putting on my credit card? Is this something that won't come back around? Is this a deal that I can get when I actually have the cash to do it? Or am I just doing this because I feel like, you know, I need to buy a gift because it's Christmas? So that's one thing to think about. The other triage that I really like to think about as well is when you if you have to put this on a credit card or decide to put this on a credit card, what is that actually going to look like? How long is it going to take you to pay off? And is that worth it to you when you think about how much you're actually paying for it if you're not using cash?
Ooh, that makes me wonder. I see these, you know, these offers about buy now, pay later. I think like Afterpay or Klarna splitting the cost of your purchase into smaller payments. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. So what I know about buy now, pay later is that it feels good in the moment because to the consumer, to those everyday Americans, it feels like, okay, I can eventually pay this off and I can get that gift right now. But for some, depending on what type of fintech platform you're using, you are paying interest on that. There are fees. And so you want to take that in consideration too, especially if you feel like you're getting a deal. When you look at how much you're actually paying, are you saving or are you actually paying more than what you would have if it was full price? And you might be surprised to learn that you're actually paying more. So it's the same way as using credit. And then thinking about like, you know, those payments are going to come out. Are you prepared for that payment in 2 weeks or in 4 weeks when it comes out again? Or are you just kind of kicking the can down the the road and going to extend having, you know, being tight financially over the next several weeks?
Or months, yeah. Kia McAllister-Young is our guide. She heads up the national nonprofit America Saves as we look at ways to build financial confidence, you know, all through the year, not just here in the holidays. You can join in with your money challenges, your money questions, 800-642-1234. How should we parents and caregivers talk with our kids about what's going on with budgeting and the costs of gifts? What are your tips there?
Yeah, so not just around the holidays, but one, commit to yourself to talk to your kids more about money, period, all throughout the year, in an age-appropriate way, of course. But one of the things that we hear, especially from young adults, so ages 14 to 24, is that they know how to save, but they know they're supposed to save, but they aren't sure how. And a lot of that is because of how we were raised, in that you don't talk about money. And you don't want to, if you're stressed about money, you don't want to extend that stress to your children. But there are definitely age-appropriate conversations that you can have for kids just to raise their awareness of how much things cost. So depending on their age, if they still believe in Santa, you can, and they're writing out their Christmas list. This is a great opportunity to use that for a quick math activity. Okay. Here's your list. Let's look at how much all of these things cost, right? And so you're not putting the stress on them, but you're raising their awareness level. If they're teens and they know Santa doesn't exist right now, you know, at the top of the hour, you shared a tip that I'd shared with you guys earlier about breaking that down to a per hour. If you were getting paid, or if mom and dad make X amount per hour, this is how much it's going to cost us to have this one, to get you this one gift. This is how many hours it's going to cost us to work. So, you know, raising their awareness level so that they understand how much things cost, and so that they are prepared when it's their turn to join the workforce or to earn an income, that they're not in a place where they know they're supposed to save, but have no idea how to go about it. And not just savings, having those conversations about credit and debt as well.
Kia McAllister-Young leads the nonprofit America Saves initiative to motivate, to encourage, and support low to moderate income families to save and build wealth. Join in with your money challenge, your budgeting aha moment in tight times, a recent conversation you've had with your child about money. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent as we learn how to manage money when it's taking more of it to make ends meet. The America Saves Initiative has tips to help manage debt and household expenses at a time when we're paying much closer attention to where every penny goes. Call in about how rising prices have affected your budget, your holiday season, your financial questions, front and center, 800-642-1234. We have Kia McAllister-Young, who heads up the nonprofit America Saves and stays with us. Kia, America Saves hosted a summit recently talking about increasing financial confidence and how emotions affect decision making. I want to pick apart the emotions. How do you know if you're an emotional spender?
Yeah. Funny enough, we actually have a spending personality quiz on our website. So if you're interested in learning your money personality, you can go to americasaves.org and search for it. But really, it's about looking at what your actual habits are, right? Some of us spend when we are really excited about something, when we're happy. Some of us spend more when we are sad or we need some kind of pick me up. Some of us are more just impulse buyers. If we're out and about and see something we like, we can't really talk ourselves out of waiting for a bit. So really just kind of reconciling what your habits are. And then you get to decide if that's a habit you want to break. And then kind of create some strategies that are realistic for you to help curb some of that. Right now, we're talking a lot about financial resolutions. So this is a good time to start, you know, kind of looking back at your spending habits and saying, you know, what are some great habits that I have that I want to keep and expand on? And what are some habits that I'd love to break in 2023? And then we have tons of different strategies depending on what those habits are. So you're always welcome to reach out to us for additional support, or just head over to our website to see what we have for you.
So, you know, but it still dwells on me. What can people do to replace that emotional high of shopping and that little, you know, surge, that pick me up you get when shopping?
Yeah. So, we really like to have people, going back to those emotions, be in touch with their own values right now, especially during this time of year. So, you know, having a clear view of your finances, so knowing your income, knowing what expenses you have, but knowing what your financial values are. What are you actually saving for? And when you have not just saving for the sake of like, I'm supposed to save, but when that saving is tied to, you know, this really amazing vacation that you want to take, or the fact that you, you know, are looking forward to owning your own home and the example that you want to set for your children, or the fact that you want your children to be able to, you want to be able to pay for their education and not have the burden of student loan debt. Whatever those values are, understanding what those values are and having them front and center. And it doesn't have to be that big. It could be that you want to be able to tithe to your own church with no issue. Or maybe you have family from a different country that you send money back to. Knowing what those values are that are important to you and having them written out makes it easier. You know, having it someplace that you can see it, even if it's inside your wallet. On a sticky note, when you are ready to do that impulse buy, opening that wallet and saying, you know what, you know, more than this really cool t-shirt, I'd love to send that money back home to help my family that's in a different country, or I'd love to donate that to a church or whatever charity or foundation is super important to you. Then it can kind of reframe and keep those values front and center. So kind of value-based spending and savings plan is super important.
Yeah, so always keep those spending values with you, check in on them, and even carry them with you physically in your wallet. We haven't talked about the spouse or the partner. What should you do if your spouse or partner is more of an emotional spender than you are?
Yeah, just like any relationship, communication and comprehension. So not just communicating, because we can talk at each other a lot, but communication and comprehension is key. So when you have your spending and savings plan, and if that's a tool that you need, we do have it available at americasaves.org. We call it a spending and savings plan over a budget, because you get to look at how you want to spend and how you want to save. And so it's all encompassing and more holistic than a budget. Also, budget sometimes has a negative connotation. So, right. Like it feels like you're
Not
being,
this
right,
again.
exactly. So we call it spending and savings plan. It feels more positive. But as you're doing that spending and savings plan, sitting down with your significant other, and sometimes it might be your kids. You can include your kids in in those conversations too, if it's age appropriate for them. But again, they will also be able to contribute their financial values to that. And so again, keeping that front and center, what are you working toward? Checking in on that spending and savings plan. So not just doing it and never looking at it again, but we recommend, especially in the beginning when you're learning these new habits, to have a money date with yourself every week. So once per week, you're sitting down and looking at, okay, this was the plan. Did we stick to the plan? Did we go off the plan a little bit? Are there some adjustments that we need to make? And so it's a constant conversation, ongoing conversation with your significant other, with your family, so that everyone's on the same page financially. And so again, it makes it a little bit harder to do that impulse spending when you know that you have to be accountable on Fridays for that money date.
But Kia, we are human. We are, as we are born to make mistakes, right? I mean, have some regrets here. Should we leave room for some impulse purchases in our budget, especially in these inflationary times and in the holiday season?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, going back to reconciling your spending habits, if that is a habit that you notice about yourself, as you're doing that spending and savings plan, add a line for like miscellaneous. If you are a person that stops by the convenience store, I can't tell you how many conversations I've had people whose spouse stops by the convenience store daily and spends like $5, but that $5 every day for 30 days adds up. And so if that is a habit that you know you have, that you are not in a position to break right just yet, then make space for it, right? So that it's not a surprise when you sit down to do that spending and savings plan, but you've made adjustments for it. But there's also, again, going back to those values, anything that you're spending on, what you want to donate to, what you're say, all the different things that you're savings for, they're all accounted for. So you just make a line to make it accountable. So that's why we call it the spending and savings plan. This is to help you be in the know and be informed, because an informed saver is an empowered saver. And so we're not going to have a spending and savings plan where we're lying to ourselves. This is truly what you spend and how you save.
Kia McAllister-Young with us from America Saves. She directs that national nonprofit that helps individuals save money, reduce debt, and build wealth. And taking on your money challenges and questions, 800-642-1234. So, Kia, people may feel shame when making a purchase or anxiety, uneasiness. How can you avoid shopping regret and feel confident, build that financial confidence?
Yeah, so for it looks different for different people, right? I talk to a lot of our savers. I have my own friends and family. So some people have what works for them is like a 24-hour moratorium. So they'll see something they like, but they'll tell themselves, you know what? I'm going to wait 24 hours. If I still feel like I need it or can't live without it, then I will go back and repurchase it. Some people don't have their cards available to them, so they'll carry cash to wherever they're going. And they have the amount of cash that they will need to make the purchases that they're going to have. The thing about finances is that it's personal for each of us. You mentioned that we're human. And so there's not going to be an expert that has the perfect strategy that's going to work for everyone. This is about really understanding yourself, how you spend, what you want to save, and then having very realistic strategies to support you. And it's going to look different for everyone, but the biggest thing is being in touch with those, so that that idea of shame or guilt doesn't come up as often.
Be in touch and really take the time to know your finances. I just cut you off. You were going to say one more thing.
No, I was just going to say, like, we talk about past, present, and future. And the past is your debt. It's the things that you've already done. And guess what? There's nothing we can do about it unless you have your receipt and you decide that you want to return. Now, but then you might be spending money on gas. And I'm a person that, for whatever reason, I don't ever end up returning the thing. It just came to me. If that is something that happens, that you end up having these purchases, maybe you can consider it a gift. So you put it in the closet, and that's going to be someone's Christmas gift later down the line.
Let's pause right there. Kia McAllister-Young heads up the America Saves Initiative. Join in 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We get the latest money-saving advice to prevent feeling financially overextended this season as prices jump up and families really search for ways to meet basic needs. Call 800-642-1234 with your budgeting, or should I say spending plan questions. Any thoughts you have about money coming up for you, email ideas at WPR.org. Kia McAllister-Young directs the nonprofit America Saves Initiative and stays with us. Let's bring in Travis in Waukesha. Travis, hi.
How you doing, Kay? How you doing, Miss Young?
Hi.
I had a comment that really helped me out. I am definitely an impulsive buyer, and I, over the last couple of years, got into some large credit card debt, and I sometimes had a hard time making ends meet when it comes to, like, my mortgage, my car payment, things like that. So what I started doing is I created a, you know, now with the technology there is out there, auto pay, and I created a separate bank account with my job, and I told them, hey, you know, these are all my important bills. And I basically just added up all my important bills for a month, divided it by two, because I get paid bi-weekly. And I make, you know, $15 or $20 extra go into that account and then set up auto pay. So I know that my mortgage, my car payment, you know, my heating, electricity bills, all those are already taken care of. I don't even have to think about them. And they're just automatically deducted from that secondary account that I normally don't even look at because of the whole out of sight, out of mind principle.
Travis, thank you for this strategy. Kia, what do you make of it?
I am a huge fan of saving automatically. And so whatever that looks like for you is great. We always say the easiest way to save is to save automatically. And so splitting your deposit, and we don't like to say it's a set it and forget it approach. We don't want you to forget that it's there. But the fact that you are utilizing such an easy, efficient strategy to save and make sure everything is taken care of is to be commended. So that's awesome.
Travis, would you be willing to share what you've spent out of your impulse account, if I could name it that?
I mean, like, for what did I buy? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I mean, can you give an example of what you've used your other account for, you know, that separate account that you have for spending?
Yeah, I mean, the smaller stuff is really nice to be able to spend it on. You'll look at the account once every couple of weeks and they'll say, oh, I have an extra, you know, $150 that I know I don't need for these bills. You know, now I can get, you know, like, I have a fiance, so I can get her some flowers or something like that. Something small that you know that's going to fit in that, like, small amount of money that you have. Mm-hmm. But it still feels good because it's like that's extra from what I already, you know, saved to pay all these bills. So.
And you're aware of it and it's in control. It's a lot of that really feels empowering, I would imagine, Kia.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that your fiance appreciates that you think about her with your extra funds. So that's awesome, Travis.
So Kia, you know, you say that the some of the greatest barriers to saving are the inflation that we're all feeling, systemic racism, also a huge issue in this conversation, and accessibility to financial support. Can you talk about breaking through those barriers and what they mean?
Yeah, so different barriers, different topics. When you get into systemic racism, that's something that you can't individually take down or overcome that barrier alone. And so that's when we're calling in for specific legislation, when we're calling in for employers and financial institutions that have a corporate responsibility to help overcome those barriers for individual Americans. But, you know, there are some that we can maybe take control of, which are empowering. So when you are going to do your spending and savings plan and you recognize when you put in those additional values that you have, your expenses and the things that you want, maybe there's not enough funds left over. So being creative about what that looks like. We are in a time where we have more opportunity than ever with the gig economy and or with even things around your house or getting your kids involved. And what are some things that they may want to sell to create some additional income so that you can make ends meet? So really just thinking outside of the box when it comes to having that spending and savings plan and knowing your income and expenses. That's the most empowering thing that we can do for ourselves right now, because then we can, once we have the information, then we can get creative on how to go about that. It might look like adjusting how much we eat out. It might look like, you know what, I really like eating out. And so I want to maybe increase some hours at my job if I have that opportunity, or I may want to do Instacart or drive Uber or Lyft so that I can create some extra funds and not have to dip into credit if you have a good enough credit score where you have credit available.
You know, that's what I'm hearing here is, you know, tips on how to boost our disposable income, because, you know, there's that set income coming in if you're employed. But now is a time where, you know, with the inflation and so many other issues in the holiday season, it's you're really trying to find ways where you can have a bit more of that disposable income. And that that's a tricky one, because that, too, is very individual.
Right. There are some of us that don't have the ability. Either we're already working overextended hours, or we may have our own disability and not have the ability to do that. So the other thing that is really great to be tapped into is your own community. What local resources do you have available to you so that you could maybe take advantage of that? There, again, talking about guilt and shame. If you have to rely on going to a food bank at this time, there is no shame in that. This is about doing what you need to do for your family, for yourself, so that you can meet your basic needs. No one expected what we have been living through over the past 3 years. And so at this point, for some of us, it is about survival. And we're not necessarily in a place to save. So tapping into those community resources is really important too. A really great resource for that is your local library, your local public library.
Oh, yes. I'm so glad you brought up libraries. That is so great. I do, though, want to drill down just for a moment on the racial wealth gap. And I know you said policy and legislation are so necessary there, but how can we be more on the lookout for red flags that indicate discrimination? How can I be proactive and affect change?
Yeah, so this is where we can advocate for ourselves and others. And so we are in our individual organizations are part of those behind the scenes meetings. And so the conversations that you're having with your team members, asking the organization what their values are and how they plan to, like if they have a DEI commitment, what that commitment is for diversity, equity, and inclusion. And if they are not talking about DEI in your workplace organization right now, that's probably a red flag. Most organizations, especially since 2020, have made some type of commitment So knowing where your organization stands when it comes to diversity, equity, and inclusion, asking those questions about, you know, if you look around and you see, okay, this isn't a very diverse workplace, or even our board, if there's a board, or the leadership isn't diverse. And not just diverse doesn't just mean that there's a Black person around, right? So there's diverse as in ability, there's gender diversity, all types of different diverse ways to have a group of diverse people. And so, you know, being an ally here and asking that organization that you work with, you know, what is your commitment and how are you helping to overcome the systemic racism and the other systemic forces that that are hurting us right now. And then there's also fair and living wages. That's an issue as well, of outside of just diversity and inclusion. You know, are you making a fair and living wage? And if not, is there a plan to get you there? And if your organization that you work isn't paying you a fair and living wage, where can you seek out? What kind of plans can you put in place so that that is a goal that you have, to be in a place where you can make that fair and living wage?
Kia McAllister-Young with us, looking at building financial confidence this holiday season, building wealth for generations. She directs America Saves, a financial nonprofit. You can join in with your financial, your money, your budgeting questions, 800-642-1234. Eric from Madison called in, and Eric says that they've saved up a significant amount of money ahead of retirement, Kia, but now that retirement is looming, it's approaching, Eric is having trouble being comfortable spending the money they have and is wondering if you have any advice for them.
Yeah, so this is an exciting time. We really like to kind of sit down and look at what you want your lifestyle to be. So when you started saving for retirement, Eric, you probably imagined, or maybe you didn't, because there are a lot of people who didn't do this, but imagine what retirement is going to look like for you. And I just came back from the NEFI summit last week in Denver, Colorado.
And where NEFI stands for? Or
a National Endowment of Financial Education.
Okay. So, no, that's okay.
There was a lot of talk about different ways to retire. So the traditional retirement isn't necessarily what is happening today. So it may, in order for you to feel confident, and it may take kind of sitting down and looking at what retirement is going to look like for you, and maybe rethinking and reimagining what that retirement looks like. But the other thing is to be confident in what you have set up. So if you have retirement looming, it's very normal to be a little nervous about that. But I think taking some time and maybe even reaching out to a financial advisor or financial professionals may help you calm some of that anxiety, but it's very common. That's a very common emotion that happens when you move from saving for retirement to spending that retirement down.
Well, and maybe Eric has just for years now been putting money into that 401k, you know, maybe on a monthly basis, maybe directly from paycheck. And now just even the nuts and bolts knowledge of how do you do the reverse? That's kind of tricky.
Exactly. And so that's where those financial professionals and advisors can come in and walk you through that process again to help calm some of that anxiety and help build up that confidence that you've done everything the right way. If you decide that, you know, in order to feel confident, I need a little bit more, then maybe it comes down to reimagining what retirement looks like. But no matter what, having that advisor to kind of look and go through things with you will be super important for you to calm some of those fears and anxiety down.
America Saves director Kia McAllister-Young here with tips on how to ease the burden of rising prices, especially in the season of gift giving. Still time for your personal finance questions, your money tips, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What a pleasure to have the nonprofit America Saves initiative here, helping us reduce common household expenses, save money, shop smarter. Still time to talk about what's going on with your financial picture. Join in by calling with your questions, 800-642-1234. Kia McAllister-Young leads America Saves, and our guide to smart money management stays with us. So, Kia, for those emergency purposes, and look, I mean, our heater, our furnace just went out, and so that was in the emergency category. But saving for 3 to 6 months worth of expenses is commonly here is recommended. Do you agree with that estimate?
So it's not a matter of agreement or not. Like, obviously, the more that we can have in our emergency savings, the better. What I don't agree with is when you have people who are struggling to save. Whether it's not having access to financial education so that they just need additional strategies and tips, or they're not making a lot, that is very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And finances are already stressful for a lot of us, and the goal is not to add more stress. So we believe in starting small and thinking big, that it's more about building the habit of saving versus focus on having a certain amount in your savings account. Because as long as you have that habit of savings, then you'll become a lifelong saver. And you'll be the more successful you are, the more you'll be able to build. So what we like to do is to have, for people that are just starting out their savings journey, have that first goal for your emergency fund to be $500 using automatic savings. I believe that was Travis that talked to us earlier today about how he set up split deposit with his employer. If you can also set up an automatic transfer with your financial institution, you know, where you'll tell them to transfer a certain amount on different frequencies, whether it's once a week or once a month or whatever that looks like for you, according to how you're paid. So the goal here is about, again, building that habit of savings. So we like to start with 500. Once you hit 500, that idea, that feeling, that emotion is going to be celebratory. You're excited. You've hit this goal. Now let's increase that goal. Let's make it to 1,000. And before you know it, you've built that habit of savings. And so that 3 to 6 month expenses just happens. Mm-hmm. Or at the very least, because emergencies happen when you least expect them, mm-hmm. you always have this revolving cycle of savings, and you can feel more confident overall.
What about shopping around for an account, higher interest rates on these savings accounts? Because those interest rates can be very small, but we're seeing them edge up a little bit now.
Yeah, right now is a really great time to have a high yield savings account. A few things to think about when you are opening a savings account is location. So if they're close to you or available to you, especially if you have ATM fees, if they're not local to you, then that becomes a thing, right? You're paying to access ATMs. You want to make sure that they are either FDIC mm-hmm. insured or with the credit union that is accredited. So that's super important. And then knowing what fees they have. So there are so many options for low or no fee checking and savings accounts. So if it costs you, $25 if you fall below this certain amount, and that amount is something that you don't have in your account on an average daily basis, then you're paying to have that checking account. And so those are the top three things you want to look for, making sure that it's accessible, that there are low fees, and also knowing what that interest rate is, if it's going to benefit you in that way as well.
I want to switch gears just a bit here, looking at military families. The holiday season can be difficult on families with members of the military who are deployed away from home. You're an Air Force veteran, former military spouse. How did you remain financially confident during this time of year?
I'll be honest with you, I wasn't. not during that time. In addition, a lot of people don't know that the holiday season is actually when a lot of military families move. They get orders to move during the holiday season because kids are out of school. And so not only do you have the service member is deployed. It could be that you're moving to a new city, state, country. And then, you know, we're all experiencing inflation and all that goes with that. So it can be a very stressful time, but, you know, military lifestyle, when it comes to emotions, there are some unique challenges, unique opportunities. So thinking ahead of time, what we do know is it is very likely you're going to move. And for many, we kind of know what that rhythm is. For some of us, it was 2 to 3 years. For some of us, it was a little bit more extended. So as you're thinking about those values and those line items on your spending and savings plan, having a transition fund is very important. I know a lot of people think that, oh, the military pays for you to move. For most families, there are out-of-pocket expenses when it comes to moving. I mean, just think about the fact that you're probably throwing away all of your seasonings in your cabinet, right? Mm. And then when you get to the new place, having to replace that is expensive. And a lot of times what we get, it's either reimbursed to us, so we have to have it up front. And a lot of times those reimbursements do not cover what it actually cost us to move in real life. And so having a transition fund can be very, very important for military families.
And just broadening out there, I mean, amidst the great resignation, having a transition fund also very important because perhaps you weren't thinking about moving to a new job and now you are.
Yes. That's the other side of the coin. For many military families, the military spouse has a hard time even finding employment. So if they have a job and they're moving, they may not have a job on the other side, depending on where they're moving to. Even those that are licensed, some of those licenses do not move from state to state with military families. And so there's lots of different things to think about. And larger picture, a transition fund might be helpful for all of us, right? Because not only did we have great resignation, but there are people who unexpectedly lose their jobs. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's kind of looking at that transition fund the same way we look at an emergency fund if something unexpected happens. Yeah.
Kia, thank you so much for joining us and all your help.
Well, thanks for having me anytime.
Kia McAllister-Young is director of America Saves, the national nonprofit that works in conjunction with the Consumer Federation of America. Find a link to America Saves on our program page, wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.